This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me now for Main Street Eats is Root Cellar Sue. Sue Balcom, thanks for joining us today.
I am so happy to be here. The sun is shining, and we're going to talk about food.
And especially emergency substitutions, because if there's one thing that I learned during the COVID-19 pandemic is you can actually do a lot without having to go to the grocery store, for example, you know, cake flour. When you have all-purpose flour, there's just some quick substitutions you can do. And it was really handy information. And I'm just very thankful for all the people who both knew this and decided to write it down who came before me.
You know, you've got to remember that people like myself who live like 20, 30 minutes from Bismarck, we can't run into town when we're in the middle of something. You know, have you ever gotten to the middle of a recipe and realized that you didn't have what you needed to finish it?
No, I've always been perfect at all.
Jeez, oh, sure,
yeah,
okay.
Nope.
So you're the kind of person.
Like eight times the recipe, usually. I'm like, ah, I didn't read the whole thing again.
Oh, God. See, okay, so let's start this conversation off like that. You actually should read through a recipe once or twice before you attempt it.
I know.
Okay. Rule number two, you should measure out everything. Like put your cup of milk here, put your teaspoon of salt here, put your tablespoon of whatever here.
The French call it mise en place, and it makes so much sense. It just
it does.
You know, put in place, and then it's
because
you know
you
have it.
Because if you forget something... Well, sometimes if you forget something like we talked earlier, it's not such a bad thing. But for the most part, you don't want to leave your baking powder or baking soda out of a cookie recipe.
Right.
Things like that. So one time I was making, I have these three awesome sugar cookie recipes because I love sugar cookies. And they're three different sort of textures. One is cakey, one is crispy, and one is the one that you roll out for Christmas cookies. And so I'm making cookies out at, before I was married, out at JC's house, and he didn't have anything in his cupboard that was even close to baking soda and baking powder. And I ran back into town. I ran back into town to get some things for his cupboards. And somebody's like, are you nuts? And I said, I was not about to ruin my cookies because he didn't have what he needed in his cupboard. And I've done a lot of that cooking where I just blast open the cupboard and pick whatever I want out of there. But in the front of every old cookbook, they would have emergency substitutions, like in your Betty Crocker cookbook or your Better Homes and Garden cookbook. And, you know, if you're out of baking powder, you can substitute baking soda and cream of tartar.
I didn't know that.
Because those are all three rising agents that don't require, God, what is it they don't require? They're a chemical rising agent and not a natural rising agent like yeast. So let's say that you don't have chicken broth and you're making soup. Well, there's nothing stopping you from adding beef broth. In fact, when I make my beef soup, I usually put chicken stock in there. Anyway, and you do know that buttermilk is simply milk that has vinegar or lemon juice put in it so that it's soured. That's pretty standard.
Yeah. What about some of the flours? Because I was buying cake flour and then I was like, I don't want to keep buying a specific flour that I just wasn't using very often. You know, I got to a point where I just had like 17 flours in my cupboard and I couldn't handle it.
You know, what's really strange is that cake flour is, it says in here, is just regular flour, but you just take two tablespoons out. Now, I've also seen where...
I thought you had to add cornstarch or something.
That's what I was thinking, too, that you substitute those two tablespoons of flour for two tablespoons of cornstarch.
That's what I do.
And so if you need self-rising flour, you would add a teaspoon of baking powder, a little salt, and a quarter teaspoon of baking soda to that.
That would be like for biscuits or?
Yeah, kind of. And I don't see too many recipes that call for self-rising flour anymore. And so I basically just use flour.
Okay.
flour and more flour.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're, let's say that you don't have a fresh onion or a fresh garlic, there's nothing wrong with substituting the dried flakes. And while I'm talking about this, y'all should be taking notes about things that you should have in your cupboard, like baking soda, baking powder, cream of tartar, cocoa.
All those white powders. Well, I guess cocoa's not white, but.
shortening, oil, dried onions, onion powder. There's a difference between an onion powder and an onion salt. Like if you add an onion salt to a recipe that calls for an onion powder, you're going to get that additional salt. So that's kind of like why you'd have unsalted butter and salted butter in your house, because that way you can control the amount of salt in a recipe that calls for butter by using the unsalted kind.
What about for sweeteners?
There's all kinds of things that are sweet. So honey and molasses are about the same viscosity. And so you can substitute them.
That's
the
difference, just like a 1-to-1 ratio, like one cup is
correct.
One cup?
Okay. 1 cup, yep, 1-to-1. And so then the difference would be, of course, your color would change because molasses are dark. And molasses also has that little bit more bitter sulfuric taste to it. But trust me, if you're making a cake, I've never met a cake I didn't like, no matter what I had to substitute in there.
Okay.
You can also use half and half instead of light cream, or even instead of heavy cream, sometimes for puddings and things like that, gravies and sauces and stuff, you won't notice much of a difference. Like I said, if it tastes good, who cares, right?
Well, there is an... I just tried this once somewhat recently, but I was looking at substitutions for heavy cream because it was another case of I don't want to go to the store for just one thing, but I didn't have quite enough heavy cream. But I came across a blog, and I don't remember what it was now, but it was, okay, these are 6 different substitutions for heavy cream. But it depended then on how you used it, like if you were going to end up whipping it or if you were going to mostly use it in a liquid state. Are you very familiar with that kind of substitution and how it can impact a recipe?
Right, because what you're saying is if you're making whipped cream for on top of strawberry shortcake, you can't whip whole milk. You can't whip half and half. Okay. It has to be the heavy cream.
Because there's not enough fat?
Right. Okay. There's not enough. Right. That's exactly right. So you'll have to be somewhat familiar with the end result. Like if you have a cake, that cake isn't going to know whether you used a heavy cream or a half and half in it.
Okay.
There won't be much of a difference there. Same way you can substitute yogurt for sour cream, like not
plain yogurt,
blueberry
right?
yogurt, but yes, I only buy plain yogurt. I sometimes forget about that with people. I buy the plain unsweetened Greek kind.
Right.
and then of course I do buy whole milk that's unpasteurized or lightly pasteurized whole milk. And from that, you can actually make your own farmer cheese, which can be substituted for cottage cheese in recipes.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. That stuff is so much easier to work with rather than the stuff that you buy in the store anymore. And fruits, you know, you can interchange fruits. You don't have to follow a recipe verbatim. You can think about things that are similar in texture and moisture content to substitute in, and spice wise, you know, I had to laugh because the first substitution on this list I got out of my cookbook says apple pie spice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Who in God's name has apple pie spice in their cupboard when it's simply cinnamon, nutmeg, a little bit of ginger or cloves or allspice? You know, like you can mix up your own spice blends. You actually gave me a spice blend that you kind of put together yourself one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking it's so simple to do these things. Be creative. Don't be so locked into these recipes.
You know, it's obviously a lot easier to keep a dried spice around than a fresh spice like rosemary or what have you. Yes, you are going to get a much richer flavor if you are able to use fresh herbs versus the dried herbs. What is there like a hard and fast rule about using fresh herbs versus dried herbs?
it sometimes depends on personal preference, but okay. You have to remember a couple things. You can rehydrate a dried spice so that it would probably give off a little more flavor closely to a fresh spice. If you soak it in some of the liquid from your recipe before you actually put it in, I do this with raisins. You know, like if I'm making Easter bread or something that has dried fruit, candied fruit, raisins, craisins, those kinds of dehydrated things in them, I actually soak them in orange juice, cranberry juice, something that's a similar flavor to what the rest of the ingredients are before you put them into your batter. Mm. That really helps. But it also adds a little moisture to your batter so you can't get too carried away with it.
Okay. But typically, like a dried herb, you'd need to use more than a fresh ginger.
Right. And then and the thing about dried herbs also is that the older they are, the less potent they are.
Yeah.
The cheaper they are, the less expensive they are, the less potent they are. Once you open them up, they start to degrade, and you should never, ever, 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 ever store your dried spices above your range. Or the range hood.
Or where there's lots of light.
Right. Light and heat and moisture are going to degrade those dried herbs and spices quite quickly. Now, you can also take sugar, and you can make powdered sugar out of granulated sugar by worrying it up in your blender. Now, I've never personally tried that, but you can also substitute a little brown sugar, like a cup of brown sugar, or 2 cups of sifted powdered sugar in place of a cup of sugar in a recipe.
Yeah, I have done the powdered sugar one. I don't buy powdered sugar anymore once I realize it's just sugar in a blender. I add a little bit of cornstarch, and it's really nice unless you open the lid of the blender too soon.
And then you go to the hospital because you can't breathe.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, at least with my blender, I have to make quite a bit of it. I can't make like a quarter cup. It just doesn't.
Right. It has to have volume.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing about that. Well, Sue, we have exhausted our time for the day, but will you be posting some of these substitutions to your website?
I sure can do that.
All
that
right.
would be absolutely awesome. And then people can ask questions through that site also if they want.
And you can find that at therootsellers.com. And that's seller, like somebody who sells you something. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Ashley. See ya.